Confidence. We all know what confidence is. And biblically, confidence is similar, I suppose, to a secular and popular understanding of the term. But as a biblical concept, I just want to clearly define this. As a biblical concept, confidence is a firm trust. Confidence is not just a belief. Confidence is a certainty that a chosen course of action is the correct course of action. And that's it's not that big of a difference, but it's a significant difference from the understanding of confidence in our own society, where most secular people, most mainstream people would say, well, how can you really be sure of anything? It's a biblical concept. Confidence involves trust and certainty. And Luke's aim in writing his gospel, and also the book that we're in, this record of the Acts of the Apostles, is to build our confidence in Jesus Christ in the gospel. He wants us to trust in Jesus Christ. He wants us to be certain in Jesus Christ. Now let's take a step and apply this to evangelism, moving beyond ourselves and the state of our own hearts. And I would argue that there is no greater privilege in life than to challenge someone else to have confidence, to have trust and certainty in Jesus Christ as well. As we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper next Sunday, I ask, brothers and sisters, will you do so with confidence in the Savior? Will you trust Jesus Christ to take away your sin so that it won't condemn you to hell? Will you allow Jesus to pay in death and in blood for your salvation? As we have worked through the book of Romans in the evenings the last few months, we have been confronted with this distressing truth that all of us are sinful. All of us have offended God. We see it again in places like Hebrews 4:13, where it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. No aspect of your lives is hidden from God. You have your public persona, and then you have that private stuff that's in the shadows that you struggle with and you'd never tell anyone. God knows about it. God sees everything. God knows everything. Nothing about you is hidden from him. And J.I. Packer writes this as he contemplates this truth. He says, Christian maturity is living all of one's life in God's presence. This is one of the goals of the Christian life, in fact, to bring what exists in the darkness into the light. We are to be cooperating with God in that work, even when it means that we are uncovering dark things about ourselves. We need forgiveness. And the only way to receive forgiveness is to trust in the Lord and to have confidence in Jesus Christ. As we looked at the first half of Acts chapter 18 a couple weeks ago, we were, and we still are, because I'm going to be preaching about it again, confronted, as Paul was, with a test of every believer. A test of a Christian's confidence in Jesus. A test of faith that we profess to believe and that we try to live out. Acts 18, verse 9, as I mentioned before, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. The test is whether or not we will keep on speaking. For some of us, maybe the test is whether or not we will start speaking at all. See, in our time and place, many Christians view faith as a deeply personal and private thing. It's a deeply personal and private thing. In fact, what is that cardinal rule of any kind of social interaction? Never discuss politics or religion. Now, I'm going to concede to you right now that our faith is indeed a very deeply personal thing, because our God is a deeply personal God. But I'll argue up and down the line that our faith was never, ever intended to be private. Nevertheless, I know that many of you would never dream of sharing your faith in mixed company. I was like that for a good part of my adult life as well. You'd never dream of sharing your faith in mixed company, much less take that extra step to try and impose it on someone else. But, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. If you have faith, you will be talking about it. That is the test of your confidence in Jesus Christ. Yes, to receive it yourself. It's extremely important you receive it yourself. But are you confident enough? Do you trust enough? Are you certain enough to go that extra step and to speak the words of the gospel into someone else's life? Now, the theme verse of the book of Acts is widely, widely recognized as 1 verse 8. In previous years, when I preached through sections of Acts, we actually had Acts 1 verse 8 up on the wall behind me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's the theme verse, but you know what? I think that 18 verses 9 and 10 flow seamlessly from that theme verse. I think that they're just as important. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. I have many people in this world. The message, brothers and sisters, goes out into the world, and though not everyone receives it, the message continues to spread throughout the ages, throughout the world. The message goes out because Jesus Christ is indeed King over all creation and Lord over all of history. The resurrection proves it. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Jesus ascended to be with the Father. And so now, as we go out day after day, week after week, year after year, as we go out, Jesus says, we go out with the gift of the Holy Spirit, working not only in us, but working in others as well. And we don't know who. As we go out, we don't go out in search of victory as though that's up in the air somehow, that maybe we'll lose this thing or maybe we'll win it. No, we go out as ambassadors proclaiming a victory that has already been won. See, Jesus is risen. Jesus is Lord of all creations. We read about that in Colossians 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That is the news. That is the information that we are called to be speaking about. It is information that will be self-evident to many as soon as they hear it, as soon as they start to think about it. So don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. If you've never spoken, start speaking. It's true. It's true. Some of you would argue that God spoke these words directly to Paul at a certain time and in a certain place and during a specific season in his ministry. Now, as a pastor, I tend to set Paul on a pedestal, perhaps even more than I should, for his diligence and his focus and his perseverance and his confidence and his wisdom and his skill. I just, as a pastor, I look up to Paul. But here's the thing. Paul is not really that different from you and me. I mean, think about it. Why did God have to command Paul not to be afraid in the first place? It's because Paul was afraid. I mean, God wouldn't waste those words if they weren't necessary. Paul was afraid. Paul had doubts about his speaking, and he had doubts about his effectiveness in sharing the gospel. It's a difficult and daunting thing to share the gospel, partly because it's so important. This is the most important thing in any believer's life. The stakes are so high. And so it's daunting to speak the gospel. It was for Paul, and it is for us. So it's the easiest thing to opt for silence in the face of potential opposition, potential failure in ourselves. But imagine Paul. Now we come into our text a bit more directly. Imagine Paul as he returns home from this missionary journey. We pick up the story in verse 22 where it says, when he landed in Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. So what that means is he landed in Caesarea, he went down to Jerusalem or up to Jerusalem. You always talk about going up to Jerusalem. And he gives a report to the mother church. And can't you imagine Paul being asked by those who know him, by his friends, by his co-laborers, how things are going? He responds, well, I was beaten and thrown into jail in Philippi. A violent mob chased me out of Thessalonica. The same mob pursued me all the way to Berea, so I wasn't able to stay there for too long. The Jews and the Greeks of Athens mocked me and sneered at my preaching. And in Corinth, I suffered opposition and abuse. Want to come with me next time? After all this, can you imagine his friends saying, or at least thinking, Paul, why aren't you learning your lesson? Paul, why aren't you learning your lesson? Dude, be afraid. Stop speaking. Your life is in jeopardy here. My fear this morning is that many of us have learned that lesson well, one way or another, ourselves. We are afraid, and so we don't speak. But Paul does. And in light of that, here's a question for us this morning. Where does Paul get his confidence? And is that confidence available to us as well? Well, the answer, of course, for Paul and for us is in verse 10. God says, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. So how do we pass the test of faith that challenges us in Acts chapter 18? To have confidence, to keep speaking, for some of us to start speaking. Simply put, we pass the test by trusting in God and his promises. We find two of them in verse 10. The first is, the first promise is, I am with you. It's a promise that's made again and again throughout Scripture. God is present. God is intimately involved in the lives of his people. He is the God of creation. He is the God of providence. He is the God of power. He is the God of salvation. That pretty much covers the different spheres of existence, doesn't it? He provides all the strength and courage we need to share the gospel and to change the world. So that's the first promise. And the second one is this: I have many people in this city. For those of you who were here a few weeks ago, I want you to remember what I said about Corinth. It's like what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. It was that kind of city. There were virtually no believers there. And so how could God honestly say this to Paul? Because God knows each and every person that will come to Jesus Christ. God knows every single individual that he has chosen and called. He promises that he is with us in our evangelism, and he promises a harvest of many souls. In this way, God gives us the confidence to speak. He says, there are people out there. There are people that I have put there for you to share the gospel with. I know that's a weighty responsibility and a daunting thought, but it's the truth. And if we can get this truth into our heads and into our hearts, if we can somehow find a way to operate with this mindset in our lives, imagine how our lives and our communities and our schools and our workplaces would change. Paul, operating with this mindset, simply tells everyone he meets about Jesus Christ, regardless of the inconveniences, regardless of the opposition, and he trusts in God for the results. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake, God gets results. When we are obedient to him, God will get fruit. He will get results. Paul stays in Corinth for a year and a half, serving this church that would take root and continue to grow in numbers and grow in depth long after he was gone. So God's commands in verse 9 and 10 establish the principle, but we're not left with that. Luke weaves into his narrative these concrete examples of the principle playing out. We have Apollos speaking boldly in verses 24 to 26. How he comes to Ephesus, how he was a learned man and had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures, how he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and how he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He spoke boldly in the synagogue. Was he completely ready to go out there and start preaching the gospel? No. He wasn't completely prepared for it, but you know what? In obedience, he did. He was compelled to, because the gospel had gotten into his bones deep and he had to share it. Think also about Aquila and Priscilla refusing to be silent in verse 26b. When Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos preach, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They didn't have to do that. This guy was up there doing what he was going to do, but no, they wanted to intervene. They wanted to provide a picture of the gospel that was more full, and they chose not to be silent. They spoke up. And then, of course, Paul, modeling confidence as he strengthens believers. Verse 23. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples, reinforcing the message, continuing to speak. Isn't it reassuring that when it comes, what comes across in this history of the church that we have in Acts, in what we perceive to be success, the gospel goes out. And in what we perceive to be failure, the gospel goes out even more. Brothers and sisters, I believe that you will never be satisfied with a private faith, a faith that you never share. Something is always going to feel like it's missing. You're going to have to take my word on that, but biblically, this is what is coming out, oozing out of the pages of Acts. You're never going to be completely satisfied. You're never going to have complete confidence, complete trust, complete certainty until you get over your fear and start speaking. So let's resolve this morning to take the test of faith that God gave to Paul and that God gives to each one of us. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. Brothers and sisters, let's do so with confidence. In the love and grace we have already received through Jesus, in the love and grace that Christ will pour out to others through our bold testimony. Amen. Let's pray.